So this manner of bira, in a way of in a eifim panimi, is even from afatza to the point that it has become widespread. This was accomplished in our generation through the Nasi of our generation. In addition to the fact that he himself, the Friedrich Rebbe, was in France many times, and he actually said there, my Marech Siddhas and Sichas, he sent there emissaries from his own family, who lived there many years, from 1933 till 1941, as it says in footnote 38, from 1933 till 1941, and they did their work there, their Aveda, and the study of Nigel the Tera, and Panimis Atera, and Eradart Geshik Kisvich Chassidus Igris Kedeshalei. And he sent there to France writings of Chassidus and his letters, and Dordzan Ech Zugigreit Givon Kamen Yonim Lutfus. And there were many things that were prepared in France, and at that time the Friedrich Rebbe used to send everything to the Rebbe to prepare for printing, such as the Hatamims, which we mentioned earlier. He would do me come upon the mile from a dovish of Tfus to Gabrak Savyad, as does the Grecht, so Aribi Godel Yeser mentioned. As we've mentioned many times, that the advantage of a printed work over a handwritten work, that it reaches far many more people. And this is a Merzu Genglich, and it's much more accessible to them. As opposed to a handwritten work, which is only shaykh to select individuals, by Vemenis Lichtiksav and Velhi Kenedos Lane, only those select individuals who have a copy of the handwriting and those who are capable of reading it. The Frat Meshach Medrukta Badover Chodosh, Mestasot Nzich Achvivis Mirchedis Velhi Vak Sakronis Beteva Odo. Especially when one prints a new thing, which this has in it a special preciousness to the person, because it awakens, as part of human nature, it brings out a person's curiosity. When a person sees there's something new, he's naturally curious. Another points out of footnote 40, so, well, but we're talking about the spreading of Teda, and the printing of Torah, and the idea of printing of Torah is not meant to appeal to people's curiosity. So what's the mila of new printed matter that it awakens people's curiosity? So the Rebbe says, Avshiz abab etchilim mitzat tivei teva shalom se'elong, gam shalom se'elong. Even though initially it starts off as a natural reaction, which is something that even Goyim have as part of their nature, the Indian of curiosity. Harel pi psak den Rambam, sheyitzreni apnimi shel Yisrael hu lekayim teira mitzvos, moven shedivrei teira meishchem eisim etzim tivrei lume del ayin ve'el. Since the true inner desire of every Jew is to learn teira and fulfill the mitzvos, so therefore he has a natural attraction to words of teira from his neshama. So even though externally what's attracting him is the curiosity, but what's really pushing him, internally, what's really pushing him, what's really driving him, is his natural attraction, his natural pull to Torah. So you only need that little outside thing to give him a push. Once you give him a push, he's actually gets into it because he's following his own true natural inclinations. So the idea of the curiosity gives that little extra push, that little extra drive. And in general, you see that in order to reach out to people, you have to have something that's going to make them interested. And one of the mistakes that at least I think it's a mistake that I see many people making is that we look, we, even people who spent years in the outside world and only came to Torah and Yiddishkeit Chassidus later, but somehow when we look at the outside world in terms of what would appeal to them and what would arouse curiosity and interest, we generally try to be we generally try to tiptoe around the issues. So we try to publicize an idea, a concept, an event, or something. We generally try to do it in ways that are like, you know, a soft sell instead of a hard sell. And the fact is that in the world out there, it's the hard sell that sells. Part of why we have this like feeling of like not wanting to be too aggressive or too pushy or too shocking, controversial, is because of this sense of like somehow we feel like we don't want to offend anybody, we don't want anybody to be put off. But the fact is the other way around. It's dafka, the shocking, the controversial, it's the things that arouse the curiosity and interest. If you really believe that what's attracting the person, that a person has a natural attraction to, but he just needs a little extra push, he needs a little something to jolt him, a little jolt to wake him up, to come and see what's going on, what's happening. So it's dafka those things, you see, l'maisa v'peil mamish, dafka those things which have more of a shock value, they jolt the person more, that arouses the person's interest and makes him want to find out what's going on. So even though there's always going to be a few people who, when you come on real hard and you know, shocking, that are going to be put off, but the fact is, for most people, that's what awakens their curiosity, and that's the sicha that the Rebbe said, that those that say you want to tell a Jew about Mashiach and that we need Mashiach now, so first you have to say Shalom Aleichem, Aleichem Shalom, and you have to introduce yourself and get to know him and ask him, get to know his family, his wife and kids, and then you could tell him that there's such a thing as Yiddishkeit, and you could, you know, and after a while you get to know him and you present him the basic ideas of Yiddishkeit, and so on. So you could also find that there's such a thing as Mashiach, and Mashiach is something that Jews want and Jews need. And the Rebbe said that, no, the very fact if a guy goes and he stops a person in the street who he never met before and he says to him, Mashiach now, so the guy looks at him like, the very fact that a person who more or less looks like a normal person, he has a nice suit and a nice tie and he looks like he's more or less a normal guy, and he says this, the very fact that a seemingly normal guy makes such a shocking, outrageous statement, that in itself shocks the person into realizing that this is supposed to be something that's significant, something that's important. So the Rebbe here, again, when it came to the end of Mashiach, and the Rebbe, at that time, the Rebbe spoke a sicha, you know, poking fun at those people who are uncomfortable with the message. This is 10 years before, we're talking Tashim Mem Beis. And I was poking fun at those people who are uncomfortable with the message of we want Mashiach now. Yeah, that's what they were uncomfortable with. And they never, you know, really went to town making fun. But the fact is that it's interesting that you think that everyone got over that. There's still plenty of people who have trouble with we want Mashiach now too. Forget about, you know, taking it a step further. But the fact is that you see clearly that when you do things which arouse a person's natural curiosity, okay, but that, you know, like the Rebbe says, curiosity is something that a guy has also. So that's not what's going to hold the person. You can arouse someone's natural curiosity, but then you have to give him the thing that he really wants. I mean, deep down, this is what a Jew really wants. A Jew really wants the Torah, a Jew really wants him, it's a Jew really wants Emunah and all the things that you're giving him, but you have to give it to him. And the mice, the fact is, time after time, any time they did a pa'ula, You know, unfortunately, we have the problem, the lack of follow-up, but every time there was a billboard or there was a... The more shocking the message, the more there was a response. I mean, more people copied the number, picked up a phone, and wanted to find out more about it. And unfortunately, we didn't give them that much more, except a recorded message which said, imagine a world with no war, and, you know, imagine a world of peace and no hunger and war and blah, blah, blah. And, well, should have said, this world is coming soon, just add in goodness and kindness. Okay, which is a nice message, I'm not telling you not, chas v'shalom, but it's not much of a follow-up, it doesn't give people much more to take from there. The fact is that when people did things like that, and people are doing things like that, it generates a response. And when you just, you know, when you try to soft sell, and the just, you know, trying not to make waves and trying to be genteel and elegant and just doesn't get very far.
Although I've been told that granted office often shemes kabo doesn't mean to has v'shalom change the issue or avoid the issue. Doesn't often shemes kabo mean that it still has to be presented in a way that can be swallowed, that can be accepted from where the people are coming from?
Oh, absolutely, but I'm talking about two separate things here. I'm not talking about your presentation. There should be a follow-up presentation which explains very clearly what it is, you know, very clearly in a way that anybody can understand what it is that you're trying to say. The question is, how do you get people to even listen to what you're trying to say? Okay, what's the biggest event that the most successful shliach ever made? I'm not talking about something like a Renaissance fair where, you know, where they just come to eat hot dogs and listen to some Jewish music. I'm talking about, you know, which is a nice thing. I'm talking about a lecture where you're going to teach them something. What's the biggest, best, well-attended lecture ever given in the history of Lubavitch by any shliach? Did anybody ever have a lecture of 1,500 people? Is there a Lubavitcher shliach that ever gave a lecture to 1,500 people? I'm not talking about when they make these hakels in Israel.
I think that during one of the Israel Day celebrations, they got, from Hershey's Yisrael, who's the guy in Hebron and who has a yeshiva there, I don't know,
Ginsburg.
They got Ginsburg to speak in Central Park, and there's this enormous crowd.
Yeah, but he didn't speak as a Lubavitcher.
Well, he gave over. I heard from people.
Right, I understand, the fact is, very rare is it that any Lubavitcher shliach has access to crowds of any significantly large numbers, and there's a reason for it. The reason is because you're not pulling them in. You know, you pull them in by shocking them. That's what pulls them in. Okay? When shliach or somebody gets on the radio with a shop, you know, as is invited by a host on the radio program, and if it's a controversial shocking topic, people are going to tune in and listen. And then you can give over your message. But if you have, you know, all these beautiful brochures and signs and things coming out of shluchim office how to attract people to shiurim, that's going out to shluchim that attract 30 people on a good night. So, you know, 100 is a big event. Like a shliach with a dinner that has 300-400 people is a massively successful shliach. Okay, this is not, and that's the dinner. Okay, that don't mean they're showing up to shiurim. That means they're showing up to your dinner. Okay? So so if you have just a sense of the numbers, how many people we're not getting to, it's like pretty frightening. And again, the only way you're going to get to people, the only way the average Joe Schmo, who has his remote control surgically attached to his hand, is going to get up and get out and hear what you have to say is if you're going to give him a joke, shake him up, wake him up. Otherwise, he ain't coming out. Yes.
I mean, maybe I'm just reading into it a little, but it always seems to emphasize the aspect of a chiddush, a novelty, I don't know if that's the same thing as, you know,
well, that's
a shacking.
That's the idea. What's a shack? In other words, it's a fresh new thing that the guy hasn't heard before is what shacking people. People in America aren't shacked by anything. Okay, this is America. What's news is when you come up with something new, with something that they didn't hear before, something that they don't know about, something that arouses their curiosity. I mean, that's the point. I mean, but you know, it's in America, the curiosity level in the subject, the interest level, very short span, and you have to keep it fresh and keep it exciting and keep them interested. Anyway, but that's just a digression from the text, in which the Rebbe is actually discussing the fact that the Friedrich Rebbe sent family members to France, and he had who learned there, and Nigma Chassidus, and he sent them many of his writings, and they were prepared for print, which, as we just explained, print has the special qualities that handwritten materials don't have. In addition to many other words of Torah which were written there and later published, I guess that I was referring to his own. Generally speaking, it was accomplished there a bitter and refinement in the manner of being enclosed and ensconced in the ways of the place through going in its manners. And specifically in a way of Yer Shemayim and Hidr, extra beautifying of the mitzvahs, in order to accomplish this birur in an inner, internalized manner from within, which is what broke through the way and gave the power to break and transform this tremendous force of klipa. The revelation of the accomplishment of this work, which was only completed in a complete way, was after the Friedrich Rebbe was already in America, on a dart and surface, and there, after the war, he established Yeshivas Tevatim and other institutions of Managan and Geshik Shlifim, says of Dart Bazetz, and Oibbein, the Maestas, and Mavis, and Terev Yadis, Bechlof. And he appointed and he sent emissaries to settle there and to build these institutions and to spread Torah, Yiddishkeit in general, and the Torah of Chassidus in particular, as we see clearly, especially in the more recent years, that the tremendous, great, and plentiful success in all the activities of spreading Torah and Yiddishkeit, and the wellsprings outward in the country of France and in other countries in a manner of ever increasing light. To the point that, in addition to the fact that the Nasi Adar gives the power to bring Kedusha also into a lowly place, which this could be done in a way where the holiness comes specifically from another place, in the place of the Nasi Adar, but it doesn't become completely internalized within the place. It's coming from the outside. Yitter Keach, in addition to that, it gives the power as in dem Makim Gufa, hat man gemacht am Makim, um Makim Reftere, durch Miyasa sein Deutsch, Shivas Tem Ketuim, Azevi in Lubavu Shachatchila. He gave the power that the place itself should become a place of Torah. The place itself should become a place and a source of Torah through instituting Yeshivas Tem Ketuim exactly the way it was originally in Lubavitch. And if you look at footnote 41, why are we comparing it to the way it was originally in Lubavitch? Because if you look at footnote 41, Ubeloshim Mechtavik, the Keshu Asiastus HaYeshivasham, and in the words of the Friedrich Rebbe's own letter, in connection with the founding of the Yeshiva there, says as follows: Kol Medina Medina Yesh La Tnai Chayim Shena. Each and every country has different living conditions. Avo Benegeya Astarim Ikrim Shal Yeshivas Templi Tmimim. However, pertaining to the main structure and order of the day of Yeshivas Templi Tmimim, Ein Lozus Mehem Av Ziz Kol Shehu Bechol Tekev Ke'ein de hava ba'ara de labanish. One should not budge for them, even the slightest movement with, in the full force. We should remain firm in full force, similar to the way it was in the land of Lubavitch. Esham La'el, if you look early in that letter, it says, he writes, the Friedrich Rebbe writes, Baruch Shechayonu v'kiimonu l'zman hazeh l'yasid yeshivas teim chitmim v'medina sarfas. Blessed is he who has given us life and sustained us and brought us to this time, to the founding of yeshivas teim chitmim in the country of France. V'ein l'shayah gedel ha'enig v'anachas ruach she'genvim b'zeh l'heit k'veit k'dushas ha'viseinu ra'viseinu ha'kdeishu b'shmei elyon. And we cannot assess the great delight and nachas that we caused to the, our fathers and our holy teachers in the lofty heavens above. So that's a direct quote in the Friedrich Rebbe's letter. And the Rebbe adds, v'geid la'simcha b'zeh, what's this great joy and delight for the Rabbeim that is a yeshiva of Teim Chitmim in France? The great joy over this Yomtak comes out is very good, al pi ha'mavur b'fnei. Based on what we explained earlier, since France represented the antithesis of what they stood for, the fact that now it has itself become a source of Torah, a place of Torah, that is why it is such a great nachas for the Rabbeim. Ki'ilu vidas vet selbstständig und darfet ankommen zu der Rashba von der Marke, warum es vet punkt wieder in den Allee, to the point that it's as if it's self-sufficient and does not require any influence from the source, because it is exactly like the source, it's exactly like Lubavitch. V'nesev lezeh, in addition to this, drukmin d'artam at avgeduk teich ba'avet divritera v'teres ha'niglu v'teres ha'chsidus, that printing, and they were already printed in the past, words of Torah, Nigla, Chassidus, Kel, Chedusha Torah, including new novel insights into Torah, was Dosa Zich Magish Vitzavis Chul, Varen HaMakarei Finyoni Torah L'chol Adam Kuloi, which emphasizes how France and other places are becoming a source of matters of Torah for the entire world, as Andres and Makabal for the Nyoni Torah was Maduk Darkin Up, because others receive in other places receive and benefit from the Torah that are printed there, and canon them linen the Aces Machkina school. They could learn and study and derive wisdom from the letters that are originally in France. Kamal El, as we said earlier, the Eftungen dort, it's designed that Gilu Bepel from the Kirchhoff, Quigus Muhad Munisi, the Reno, the Anglic, Besharam Shalifnis. All these accomplishments are only the revelation in actuality of the energies which were invested by the Nasi Adair in the previous years. As he puts in footnote 43, the Rebbe of Chaim Mushke, Allah Shalom, once said to one of the Shluchas of France, Miram ge'akivt und gezeit, we plowed and planted, und ihr darft schneiden. And you have to cut produce. So, in other words, that there is a direct correlation between the energies invested by the Rebbe and the Rebbetzin in the previous years to the results that we're seeing in our time. Zaynik the Nasi Adev and Nasi Akel, being that he is the Nasi of the generation and the Nasi is all, is everything. Gita dem Kecha Etzim. So, call Anshi Adev, he gives this essential power to each and every person of the generation. So, Eitan dem Biru B'chol Adam Kulay, to accomplish this Biru in the entire world. Eichen dem Makam Achitachten, also in the lowliest possible place, biznan efen, as in the Markenberg, the Skaladar Etzimalen canal, till in a manner that in that place itself is revealed the essence itself, as we mentioned earlier.
That footnote, like all the other footnotes, was written by the Rebbe himself? This last footnote was also
written by the Rebbe? No, it's Hametzi La'er. That's why it says, Hey Men Vav Lamed. It's something that was uttered by the people working on the Sikhah. Of course, it passed the Rebbe's approval.